eat.
Oh, so good.
Drink. Talk. Rick Redding and Steve Coombs serve up savory conversations about Louisville's world-famous restaurant food and drink scene. The wine is uncorked, the bourbon neat, the apps are on the table. Here comes the main course.
This is the Eat, Drink, Talk podcast. This is your host, Rick Redding, with my good friend and partner, Steve Coombs. We're talking about eating and drinking in the River City, our hometown, Louisville, Kentucky. And Steve, gosh, a lot going on this week.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, to think that all this news about new restaurants, for heaven's sakes.
We worried that we'd have enough to fill up our time here and our brand-new cool eatdrinktalk.net website. But, you know, between the stuff you're writing and the stuff I'm writing, there's a lot.
Well, I mean, the story that I wrote, was it Monday or Tuesday? It had been Tuesday because we didn't put anything on the holiday. I had written a story and the headline said 7 new restaurants opening this month in July. And instantly through Facebook, I got a correction. What about Luvino? I was like, okay, number 8. And then somebody yesterday sent me another Facebook message and said, what about Slice? Like, what about Slice? It's a place, it's a sandwich shop opening in Old Louisville. And then I sit down with you and you're like, what about Melwood Tavern? Why is that not on the list? 10 places in July alone. That doesn't count chains that may be opening that we're not aware of.
And the cool thing about it is, in terms of our website, and not to just go on about our website, but that particular post brought in a level of traffic unprecedented. We can honestly say unprecedented in the month that our site's been
right. And certainly in my career, I've never worked for a web-centric publication that I've seen 12,000 views on a single story for ever.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really amazing. Potential advertisers and sponsors out there, take note.
12,000 views, one story, and it's still rolling.
Woohoo! It's still going. So we are making a valiant attempt to put something new on the site every single day, and we're succeeding so far, at least for, I guess, the last 2 weeks, minus the holiday. So that's really good. So if you're interested in this stuff, new restaurants, new things to drink, new things going on, you know, Steve has the expertise. He has all the contacts. Every chef in town seems to know and call Steve with stories.
So lucky me.
Yeah, lucky you.
I guess I haven't offended enough of them.
So let's I don't know if there's any things that stand out on this list. We've come here with these super 8 additions to the restaurant scene.
Well, what stands out to me is that all of them are casual. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them are casual. And I'm going to skip to a little bit what's further down the list here and just say that the restaurants that are struggling are fine dining restaurants. We have talked about what is potentially going on at the Oak Room, mm-hmm. That they will probably streamline that concept. And I was just at Corbett's this past weekend where they simplified's a tough word, where they do believe that the ultra fine dining part of that business is never going to come back and be as strong as it was. And so we went and had their quote-unquote downscaled menu, which is still nicer than I'm ever making in my house. And yet you see 10 concepts on our list, 10 restaurant bars that are opening up, and they will be nothing but casual and even, fast casual in some respects.
Yeah, and none of them are going to be bad. So let's hope they all succeed. I think, I want to mention just a couple of them, like Luvino. I'm kicking myself because, like you, I got that invitation to their soft opening, and I waited 24 hours to respond. It was too late.
So be standing at the window, huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
I'll be one outside. Looking, hey, Steve, can you give me a bite?
That is almost, an iconic listing here because it's so different from anything else in town. Number one, it's wine-centered. Number two, that it's small plates. Number three, that it attracts a huge female demographic. I mean, 70% of its customers are females or women, however you choose to use that. And it's of exceptional quality. I mean, it's a great restaurant owned by two people, I should say, who have no background in restaurants. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
They can pull it off.
It's really cool. Go back and listen to Chad Coulter on one of our previous podcasts. He's the main guy there. I also wanted to point out to you, Steve, we haven't talked about this, but Set at Theater Square, I think, is going to be really special. A while back, I talked to Joey Wagner, about this. And Joey's like one of these celebrity host guys. He knows everybody in town, and he's putting a lot of effort into this. I think that it's going to be a very special place there. I think you know the chef, right?
Yeah, Jeffrey Heide. He called me the other day just to share how difficult it is to open up a restaurant. I mean, he's been through it before, so I know they'll get through it, but they were talking about, I won't even say what piece of equipment, but it uses a great deal of water, and apparently a connector burst or didn't work effectively, and some 600 gallons of water were Ouch. Spilled out on the restaurant floor, luckily in a concrete-only area, but still 600 gallons. I mean, this is...
That's a lot of water.
You know, it's not a swimming pool, but it's more, you know, it's about what you probably use at a household in a week, I would think.
Yeah, it would overflow the hot tub at least. So, wow, that's pretty wild. I know that Set, one of the things that Joey told me about Set a while back was that, you know, all the artists that he's going to work on getting all the artists that like perform at the Palace and places like that to come over there and dine there. And so that's pretty cool. And, you know, in that area, it's really seems to be a growing area because, like, 8 Up is, like, one of the coolest spots in town, too.
Right, right. And hopefully that will continue to grow. I mean, a Marketplace at Theater Square is a fantastic restaurant that is way too often off people's radars just because of the location. There's the Brown Hotel down there with one of the classiest bars anywhere, the Lobby Bar. It's just a great C&B scene, comfy furniture bar. But all that coming together in that little stretch of non-4th Street Live, you know, just local stuff,
yeah.
You know, is exciting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, let's move on unless, you know, I don't know if you want to mention any of these other spots. You know, I am curious about Hopcat and where people are going to park.
Well, you know, somebody commented on the story and said that Hopcat has 60 spaces at a church down the road. And I live down the road from there, and I can't figure out which one it would be. And the closest would be Highland Baptist, which seems kind of odd that a beer bar would cut a deal with them. But even if it is, it's you know, down the road is close to 2 blocks. I don't know how many people are going to like to walk 2 blocks to this place.
Yeah, you'd stumble into other places on the way if you did that.
Well, unfortunately, that would only be Speedway or Fauntleroy's, you know. You catch that first, but still. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot around there. And
we're lazy by nature,
maybe,
especially if we've had a beer or two elsewhere.
Exactly. All right, well, let's move on to our next little topic here. You asked me about what's going on at Whiskey Row because I was down there. I ate at Manny and Merle's for lunch the other day with our good buddy Jason Smith, and that is really looking sharp. There's been some TV news stories on it. It's next year, but at least they got those ugly stanchion-like things out of the road. And
they were propping it all up.
They were propping it all up, and they were just – ugly, and I think they impeded traffic a little bit. Traffic's a little bit better, but
shoot, when you bottleneck down Main Street, that's a problem.
It really
that
is.
Has, you know, I've been there both through morning and evening rush hour, and it's not fun.
Yeah, Tommy O'Shea was telling me that it's amazing that they've done as good much business as they have over at O'Shea's because they really haven't had a front door or a sidewalk for a couple of years since they've been open. So anyway, I think that's, you know, we're going to have to wait another year before we're really going to experience businesses opening behind those storefronts.
The old Forrester Distillery being the anchor tenant there. That'll be fantastic. To think that this distillery that will be, in terms of equipment, will be miniature compared to what is there in Shively, and yet it will produce the same amount of whiskey that's being produced. It's been wow. You know, that's being the producer now. So they're going to double production because of this tourist facility that will be just first rate. Brown-Forman does everything first rate. So
It's going to be amazing. You know, downtown right now, you basically there's Evan Williams, but you know, I've been into the Peerless spot downtown. This place, the Angel's Envy underway. The whole tourist. Bourbon tourism mecca that Louisville has become will be really something when that.
Yeah, and Michter's probably 2 years away. Yeah. Oh, it's just going to be amazing, absolutely amazing.
All right, well, let's talk about bartender. You got information about a very cool.
Speaking
woman.
Of booze handlers, right?
Yeah,
Beth Burrows, congratulations to one of my big buddies in the bartending business here. Beth has been. The general manager at Down One Bourbon Bar and Restaurant for quite a while, or actually recently was promoted to that, but she has been the bar manager for many years. and really given an otherwise humble location a fantastic draw for great cocktails. This is a story of a good gal getting a great promotion. She is now the brand ambassador for Jim Beam in Kentucky. That spot was vacated by the well-beloved Megan Breyer, who was, I guess you call it a promotion, was sent to the West Coast to do that, to wow. represent Kentucky and brown liquor done by Beam out on the West Coast. And Beth is going to be out of the drink-shaking business, as it were, for a little bit. But, I mean, that's just so cool to see that happen to her. And you'll see her a lot more around town at events. And
well, I can't wait to meet her. A brand ambassador, that seems like one of the coolest job titles other than, like, king.
yeah. yeah. I've gotten to do – in the past, I've gotten to do country ham pairings with Beam Bourbon with Megan. And to think that I can get to do that with Beth, you know, possibly in Paducah in a couple of weeks, you know, would be just – it'll be fantastic. So proud of her. She's worked hard, really worked hard.
Well, great. Well, just moving on, one of the things I looked up when I was writing the piece that I did on the site the other day, I said, wow, I've got something for people to do almost every day of the week. We got the whole week covered. And one of those is the Sierra Nevada dinner that you told me about at Harvest. What's the story there?
Oh, man. Well, Sierra Nevada, well-known brewery out of Chico, California. I guess it's kind of a San Diego suburb. Mm-hmm. They are bringing a bunch of beers. They're going to have a big presence at Forecastle next week. Next weekend, I guess it would be, right?
We'll be talking about that in just a second.
They want to do a special dinner here with Harvest, and they're going to be bringing beers that you can only find at the Chico Brewery. And it's going to be a four-course, all-paired dinner, including a reception prior to that. So if you're a beer fan and you love beer with fantastic food, you want to go to Harvest on Monday night. Go to eatdrinktalk.net for the particulars, or just go right to the Harvest Facebook page to call and make a reservation, because it is a reservation-only event. But I'm just excited to get a chance to have Patrick Roney's food. I've not been there since he came to Harvest, so I've enjoyed his food at the Oak Room, so it's going to be killer.
Okay. Well, that's one of several events coming up this week. But you also have heard through a bird, I guess, that the Gospel Bird, which is over in Indiana,
yeah,
has some new stuff.
Eric Morris's place, and it's such a cool restaurant. This year they got an old Airstream trailer, hauled it behind the restaurant, hauled it out, refurbished it, and turned it into a bar, and built a big, big deck around it. So now they've got the outdoor area open back there. And the bar's an Airstream trailer. It's just cool, you know?
Yeah.
These independent operators are so amazingly clever, and this is a great thing to go see. And people who haven't experienced the restaurant road developing on Main Street in New Albany need to go, because Gospel Bird there, Feast is there, The Exchange, Floyd County Brewing, Wick's Pizza is just a couple of steps off, Comfy Cow is a couple of steps off, Toast on Market.
Toast on
is
Market.
Is on Market. Yeah, it's a great. Brooklyn and the Butcher. I mean, that's having just a little explosion there. It's fantastic.
There you go. All the way over there in Indiana.
I know. Across the River Styx, as we treat it.
Ed Lee, I mentioned Ed Lee in my piece because he was mentioning a story about Appalachian food and the economic boom that's bringing to Eastern Kentucky. But I guess you know about a restaurant he's opening.
Right. He's opening his second Succotash. Succotash is a restaurant that he opened last year just outside of Baltimore, and apparently it's done well enough to encourage his investors to open a second one in the Washington, D.C. market, which is a fantastic restaurant market that gets, gosh, probably far less praise than Louisville, and it's huge, huge and hugely competitive. And so for him to get an opportunity to open up in D.C. is a big, big deal, and congrats to Ed and, you know, his expansionist efforts. Because he's done well with – well, the only thing, he had that one screw-up. What was the one on Baxter? It was a fast casual Asian place that even he rolls his eyes about when it's brought up. But, I mean, 610 to Milkwood to Succotash, now Succotash 2, good on him. He's got the formula going.
Well, great. Well, we'll keep our ears open on that one. So, I know we just mentioned the streamlined menu at Corbett's. You know, I guess you can expand a little bit on the fine dining movement, I guess, in the city.
Or lack thereof.
Or lack thereof.
It's just I
move away from it, I guess.
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. I just, well, the people who are the fine dining crowd are typically older. And we're in our 50s, and trust me, I was among the youth there Saturday night, and among the poor youth, because I saw clothing there that's worth more than my condo.
It's like going to these old rock and roll shows of these bands, and you're like, how can I be the youngest one here?
Yeah, 55? exactly. There's got to be somebody selling popcorn younger than me. It's very telling, you know, when I've talked to Dean about it, and the same thing is going on at Equus, that these people who grew up with these brands, there's fewer of them around, let's just say that. And so you have restaurateurs like him trying to decide, how are we going to regroup? And like I said about the Oak Room earlier, they're thinking the very same thing, that people don't necessarily want to be bound up in a formal setting with their dinner. They want it to be easy, approachable. And certainly the younger set wants it more affordable, because it's not inexpensive to dine at these places, magnificent as they are.
You buy a couple of drinks with your $25 entree, it's a big night out. So
exactly. It's easy to run $100 a head at any of these places, and much more.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well,
The food was fantastic. I didn't get to say that. It was amazing.
Real good.
Yeah.
Speaking of stuff that was real good, we have a segment of the show every week where we talk about, you know, because Steve and I are such adventurers on the road, on the culinary road, I guess, we find things that we like, and we want to tell you about special dishes that you can go out and have right here in Louisville, Kentucky. So where do you go to this week, Steve?
I'm trying to think of where I shouldn't say where I didn't go. Went to several places, but the most notable was the Hub. We went down there last Friday night. My son cooks there, and the poor guy's been saying, please, yo, come see me. And so my wife and I went there and just let them send stuff out, and the first course was my favorite, the pimento cheese stuffed bacon wrapped dates.
Now, oh, God, we looked at that on the menu. I also went to the Hub on Wednesday night, but yeah, go ahead.
Typically those are stuffed with goat cheese. This was far prefer the pimento cheese. I just think it's great. I mean, it's hillbilly food crossed with Middle Eastern influences. And I just think it's great. Delicious.
Yeah, I just take the pimento cheese on some crackers and be fine, good to go. So
those garlic fries grabbed you at Manny and Merle? Yeah.
Well, you know, it's hard to say. You know, we look for little things that are special and different, and it's hard to find them on the menu somewhere. But Manny and Merle's right there on Whiskey Row down there. It seems to be a very successful place for Tony Palombino and the Boombas and all that. A lot of people don't realize he owns Manny and Merle's, and they have these Parmesan garlic fries. And they serve them like in a giant bowl. I mean, you cannot eat. One person can't eat all of them. And
or shouldn't.
It shouldn't. But I shared a few with Jason. But, man, they such a great taste and texture and all that. So that was my wonderful feast down there at Manny and Merle's.
What was your favorite drink last week?
Well, you know, I told you I went to the Hub last night.
Indeed. It was a Hub kind of week.
It was a contest, because I had just been to Villari across the street. I had this Italian rum punch that they have over there at Villari, but at the Hub, I had this summer shandy, which is like a lemony beer thing, and they drop a shot of bourbon in there, and it was awesome.
Did they stir it in, or did they do it old school like a Boilermaker with a shot and everything? I mean, the glass goes.
I think no, it was stirred in. There was no exterior glass or anything like that. It was just in the beer, and you don't think bourbon and beer together, but they can do it. You can do it that
way. Oh, absolutely. I'd love to hold just a little bit of bourbon or rye in my hand as I have a beer in my hand. I mean, just to sip both, they counter each other nicely. Yeah, and me too, at the Hub. Favorite drink of the week, the Hey Babe, as in Hey Babe.
Hey.
As you know, as in get, you know, your face will get slapped if you use that. Yeah. I'm slapping you is what I'm doing. It was a gin cocktail. I went off the bourbon board that night. I love gin. And it was just fantastic. I wish I could remember. Oh, I know it had green chartreuse in it, which is a beguiling bottle that's on my bar at home, and I don't always know how to use it, but the few times that I have poured it into gin. They did a much more nuanced and delicious job than I, but the Hey Babe at the Hub is just fantastic.
My dream job is being to name things on menus that would, like drinks, you know. I want to be the guy that makes up the names.
Go down to Against the Grain and look at the names for their beers, or look at their website. And anybody listening, Go look at the names of those beers. You know it's a bunch of boys locked into a room with the Beavis and Butthead track going in the background. Because they're silly and funny and sometimes crude, always clever and creative.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Absolutely. So that's cool. Well, what a great roundup. We're running on in time. Let's talk about our guest real quick. You up first, Steve.
So my guest this week was Gary Fox, who is the president of Apron. Apron is a not-for-profit organization here that raises funds to distribute to employees of independent restaurants who have basically hit financial crises tied to things that, you know, were no fault of their own, such as a medical issue or in the case
apartment burned down.
Yeah, in the case of the burning of Super Chefs, that restaurant on Fairfax Avenue in January, there were 25 people out of work, and so they came and helped them, you know, paid for some, you know, to get through a month of rent or whatever was necessary. And so they're having this weekend the Taste of Independence, which we continually promote on our site. It's at the Olmsted from 1 to 4, I believe,
in the afternoon. I can't wait till that one comes.
That's going to be great. 30 restaurants. It's a 21 and over event, by the way, as Gary
might
would
say. I think I've stopped eating now, getting ready.
Yeah, it'll be great. As I said in one of my pieces, you get out of Sunday cooking because they're going to do it for you. So if you want to go support a very worthy cause and get your belly full, go to the Taste of Independence at the Olmsted this weekend.
And you'll hear about it in Steve's interview with Gary. I've known Gary. Gary was once on the Rusty Satellite Show, I think maybe promoting this event a year ago or 2 years ago. But what a great guy he is and does good work down there.
Former soap opera actor. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I learned all kinds of stuff about him. He's a fascinating character. He is a character. So you meet him when you go to Equus. Anyway, I got the opportunity. You know, Forecastle's coming up, and it's a big, big deal.
You going?
People from all over the world. I got press credentials.
Speaking of old guy at the concerts.
That's right. I will. Now, this one, I will be the old guy because there aren't many people older than me going to this thing. But, you know, I know the names of a couple of the bands, Avett Brothers.
I would love to see Avett Brothers. They're awesome.
They're going to be there. But they've got this great thing there called the Bourbon Lodge. And the thing that's special about it is not just the bourbon, but it's the only place on the grounds that's air-conditioned. So it's an air-conditioned tent. You can go in there, and you're going to hear about it all with my interview with the Liquor Barn's Brad Williams.
I can't wait.
They got involved in sponsoring the Forecastle 3 years ago and have just added on to what they're doing at the Bourbon Lodge. So there's a lot of treats, a lot of great things in the interview with Brad. Liquor Barn is an amazing company. They have 15 stores, I think, in Kentucky, and they have a headquarters out in
it's Canada, isn't it?
They have a Canada presence. They're like he told me all about a different brand in Canada, but it's all operated right out of here at their headquarters here in Louisville. So those are some great interviews you guys are getting treated to, and I appreciate everybody that listens to Eat Drink Talk the podcast and joins us on eatdrinktalk.net, the website. We're gaining steam. We're going strong.
Absolutely.
It's all fun. So anyway, we're going to get out of the way here. We probably got to go get a drink or something.
Got to get back to eating and drinking so we can talk about it next week, right?
That's right. It's a lot to do, and we're just the ones to do it.
First world problem, baby.
There you go. So stick around for the whole show, please, and enjoy our interviews with Gary Fox and Brad Williams, and we'll be back next week with a couple of more interesting guests on Eat, Drink, Talk, the podcast.
Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Rom.
Today I'm with Matt Jones,
Kevin Harned,
Pat Forty.
But I'm with Anoush Sheriott,
Kristen Wall,
United States Congressman John Yarmuth,
Sarah Brofancher, and Susie Eastman.
I have Kristen Boone,
one of St. Matthew's most favorite sons, Danny Flanagan.
It's Pat Day.
The list goes on and on. The most interesting people in the Ville are on the Rusty Satellite Show with Rick Redding. New episodes Thursdays on Louisville.am.
Welcome back, everyone, to Eat, Drink, Talk, where this week's guest is Gary Fox, president of Apron, a local organization that helps restaurant employees when they face financial crises. On Sunday, they're going to host their annual Taste of Independence fundraiser at the Olmsted, and I wanted Gary to come talk about that some. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So glad to have you here. And, you know, we're in my office, which is right above the place where you toil at least 40 hours a week, right?
Oh, I would like to think it was 40 hours a week. It's probably more like 30 or less, but...
Gary is a longtime server at Equus.
Exactly.
How many years? 12?
No, I've been here for 8 years.
8 years.
8 years.
So, well established.
Exactly.
World, right.
Everybody knows me.
For listeners who might not know about Apron, would you first explain a bit about the organization and what it does, and then we'll jump right into this weekend's Taste of Independence.
Absolutely. Apron is a locally based not-for-profit that provides emergency financial funds to members of Louisville's independent restaurant community. So when an employee in an independent restaurant, a hostess or a barback or a chef or anybody finds themselves in real financial problems through no fault of their own, not through not paying bills or something,
right, right,
but through medical or through a fire or through there's been any number of issues, we can step in and help them out. This last year, when Super Chefs burned,
right,
which was back in January,
mm-hmm,
we were able to step in and pay rent and some utilities for about 25 people.
No kidding.
Which was the biggest chunk of grants we ever gave out in one month. We gave out as many grants at that month as we gave out all of last year.
Oh, wow.
So...
And is this for an extended period or just till they can in your judgment, get back on their feet? Or how's
it go? We have a certain amount of money. That's our maximum grant. And those people were so humble and so sweet. They just asked for a month's rent, so that's what we gave. I mean, that's what we gave. We give what people ask or what we can afford to give.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily for an extended time. It's usually a one-time thing. Sometimes we'll pay 2 months' rent, but that's...
What are some of the issues? I mean, the fire is an obvious one. These people were left,
right,
unemployed. What are some of the other issues that you have helped people with?
Well,
they just were really stuck.
Right. Well, employees in the restaurant business, so many of them are in transitional parts of their lives, whether they're just getting divorced or students or whatever, that they don't have a whole lot of backup. So if they find themselves out of work with a medical condition, say, for 2 or 3 weeks and not having any income coming in, that can throw them into a real tailspin. So we're not insurance at all. But they'll apply to us, and if our grant committee deems them worthy, we will pay whatever they've asked us to pay. We've paid for a cremation. So a poor woman passed away and her husband didn't have... She worked in the restaurant business, so did he.
Uh-huh.
And he had no money to pay for the cremation, so I now know how much a cremation costs. my favorite stories are the ones... There was a woman who had a very difficult pregnancy. We paid for a month or two of rent for her. And now every time I see her, she shows me pictures of her young son growing up.
Oh, how
cool. And that is heartwarming.
I interviewed her sometime last year, and her name escapes me at the moment.
I wish I remembered.
Well, goodness, you know, it's that time in our lives, Gary.
She was at Porcini's, and now she has a business of her own.
She was a sweet lady. I know. I was glad to interview her.
Liz Martino.
Liz Martino?
Yes.
Is that right? Talk about the need for this in this particular industry. Why the restaurant business?
Well, the restaurant business here in Louisville is such a big tourist attraction, such a big business. People actually come here to try our food. I'm sure you know we've been named to the top 10 list of many different publications,
mm-hmm,
national publications, mm-hmm, National Geographic and such. But independent restaurants are very small businesses. They're not corporations. I mean, they are corporations, but they're not big corporations.
Right.
And so they don't necessarily have the wherewithal to offer benefits, or at least traditionally they don't. So that's where we step in. There's just absolutely nothing like us, certainly here in town, and I think there's only one other organization in the country like us.
Is that right? I don't know why I assumed that there would be others, given that, you know.
You would think there would,
yeah,
be. I mean, we came up with a really good idea, and the other one is in Atlanta. But when we had the idea of it, actually a chef had got sick and couldn't pay his bills, and we had a fundraiser for him. This was years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, and we thought, well, there's something, should there should be something that where people can, we can help out people. So a bunch of us got together. I presented the idea to Dean Corbett. I said, do you think there's a need for this? And he said, a need? We've been trying to do this for years, but nobody's ever taken up the gauntlet.
Yeah.
So, right. You know, he immediately sat down and wrote us out the check to incorporate. So, bless his heart.
Wow. Generous guy.
And we've given out $110,000 in 4 years.
So, it's 4 years now.
4.5 years.
So of course, the organization would like to grow its coffers, and hence the need for fundraisers like these. Let's talk about there are multiple fundraisers over the course of the year that Apron does, but right. What about this one in particular? What goes on?
This one is such a great fundraiser. We use it for fundraising and also to get exposure here in Louisville. It's a tasting. We have 30 different restaurants that are going to be participating with lots of liquor vendors and wine vendors and coffee vendors. It's at the Olmsted. There's a wonderful silent auction attached. We have some great things this year. A wonderful picture photograph by Pulitzer Prize winning photographer Dan Dry of Muhammad Ali as a young man.
Oh, nice.
A very personal, touching picture. And some other really nice things. So this is the silent auction. Robbie Bartlett Duo is our entertainment. So, and they're just always wonderful. They just
play. Right.
And it's a Sunday afternoon. It's 1 to 4 in the afternoon on Sunday, July the 10th, and it's just a wonderful way to spend an afternoon.
What does it cost?
It costs almost nothing. It costs. It's the best bargain in town. It's $40
to taste the food and drink at 30 different places.
Absolutely,
that's amazing.
It's you go to apronink.org. You go to our event page and you buy your tickets online. If you buy your tickets at the door, they're $45. But
$40 this week, right up
until Sunday. Yes, uh-huh. And it's just. It's just an event that I really love because it's so laid back and so fun, and so you'll see all your friends there, and it's just a great afternoon.
What's the dress code? I mean, you said it's laid back. Is it casual, semi-dressy, ball gowns, spats, formal?
We will let you in wearing most anything as long as you're wearing something.
It's a family event, right?
It's casual. It's actually not. It's an over 21 event. Thank you for asking.
It was one of my questions.
Thank
absolutely.
You for asking.
Because of the adult beverages.
Because of all the adult libations,
right.
We think it's best that it's an over 21
event. So kiddos, get a babysitter on Sunday afternoon.
Exactly. Or let them play out in the Masonic home lawn or something.
Oh, there's a lot of people who'd be screaming, get off our lawn.
Yeah, I could just
think?
Hear that. Pretend I didn't say that.
If you can't go, are there other ways to support Apron?
Absolutely. Go to our website. There's a donation button on our front page. There's also a donation page. A lot of people, well, not a lot, but quite a few people, have set up ongoing donations through. They give us so much a month. One young woman gives us $10 a month. Some people give us more. There's a few restaurants that give us a certain amount of money every
right.
month. So that's one way that we make money. So, or you can write us a check. Our address is online. It's
spontaneous banking.
Exactly.
Just go ahead.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Your address, your mailing address is?
Let's
say that.
291 North Hubbard's Lane, Suite B26-266. And that's 40207. And we would love to take your money however you would like to give it to us.
And there are other fundraisers throughout the year, correct?
There are. We have a dine around in either January or February. And it's just one of those wonderful events where you go and you eat at a restaurant that's participating in the dine around and they cut us a check. So you have to do nothing but enjoy yourself. And then there's a really great fundraiser that Maker's Mark throws for us at their distillery in September. During Bourbon Festival
yeah.
Week. It's the Thursday night of Bourbon Festival Week. And it is they take people in groups of 30 through a walking tour of the entire campus down in Loretto. And there's 5 chefs set up at different places along the way, 4 bartenders serving wonderful Maker's Mark products. You know, and the sun sets as you're walking through, and at the end you get to dip a bottle, a specially engraved Apron bottle, and We have buses that will take you from Louisville. We also have buses that will take you from Bardstown. It's a great event.
It is. I got to go photograph it one time, and just the perfect progressive dinner through Distilling Disneyland.
Exactly.
As it is, because it's such a pretty campus.
Exactly. It's called the Delectable Distillery Tour, and we'll be selling tickets for that starting in probably mid-August, I want to say.
Cool. A little sidestep from away from Apron, but I'm curious about your opinion on the labor issues this market is suffering from. This morning I wrote a piece.
I saw that.
Well, it started out as I said there were 7 openings. It took about a half an hour before my Facebook page got trampled by some people saying, no, what about Luvino? It's 8.
Right.
And I said at least is what I wrote was at least. So I kind of sort of maybe accidentally covered myself. But I was talking to Chad Coulter, the owner.
Uh-huh.
And he had said it was the first time that he has heard of anybody getting more cooks than expected but fewer servers. Since you're a server, does that surprise you at all that there's so little service help available right now?
It doesn't. There's a glut of restaurants, and there's no real service, what's the word? Experience here in town.
Right.
All of the experienced servers are working. I can absolutely assure you, anybody who wants a service job that can do it is working. They have to draw on new populations. I had a bee in my bonnet at one point about starting a service
consultancy
to sort of teach people how to serve, and then I realized that my plate's full and I'm way too old and I have no energy. But it's a great idea if anybody wants to take it, because it's something that's really needed.
Is there still good money to be made as a server in this town?
There is. This is a very generous town. It truly is. I mean, you don't become wealthy being a server in this town, but you can make a nice living as a server in this town, and it can certainly get you through whatever you need to get through. I mean, like I said, it's a transitional job for a lot of people.
Right.
So you can pay your bills and do what you need to do. I'm very lucky in my job. I have quite a following, and I rarely have to worry about anything. So.
But if you do, you've got Apron to help you out. Is that right?
Well, being the president of it, I'm not exactly sure if it's copacetic if I could do that or not. But I would like to think I could.
So there you have it, folks. That's what you're going to do this weekend. Join us Sunday at the Olmsted, 1 to 4. Right, Gary?
Absolutely.
For Apron. And if you can't visit with us and eat with us and drink with us, donate online at apronink.org.
Absolutely.
Correct? Awesome. Gary Fox, thanks again for being with
me. Thank you so much, Steve. I really appreciate it.
Garcon, I think I'll have another.
All right. Well, I didn't know this existed. This is the Liquor Barn World Headquarters here. I'm with Brad Williams. And Brad, welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me, Rick.
Man, how do you get to be a spirits buyer?
Yes. Mainly it's a spirits buyer. Some people call us merchants. My real title is Director of Spirits Buying,
okay.
Director of Spirits Purchasing. It's a long story. I started with the company about 20 years ago.
Wow.
Back in the 90s, and my job was craft beer. So I spent a good part of the mid to late 90s and early part of this century doing craft beer for mostly Kentucky and traveling the United States, going to breweries.
Wow.
And having a lot of fun
yeah.
at the beginning of the beer having a lot of fun at the beginning of the beer revolution. I was there I feel like I was there on kind of the ground level with some others in the state. It's kind of passed me by since then. And then I picked up spirits in about 2008.
Okay.
And then
so you switched from beer
off.
To spirits.
Well, I kept them both for a while, which was challenging and also a lot of fun because I love both of them. And I handed beer off to a very capable young man a couple years ago.
Okay.
So now I focus primarily on spirits in the United States, and that is primarily bourbon, whiskey, and tequila are kind of my areas that I focus on.
Well, let's talk about bourbon a little bit. We're here because you're involved in the Bourbon Lodge coming to Forecastle, which is very exciting, I guess. Your third year of involvement in this thing. And you know, for those that think Forecastle is just a bunch of music acts on stages, Bourbon Lodge is a whole new thing, right?
Bourbon Lodge is awesome. So two things about that. One, it's full of delicious bourbon.
Okay.
Two, it has air conditioning. So if you've been
That's quite an attraction. It's probably going to be hot.
If you've been to Forecastle, you know it gets warm. So it's been very popular. All the years they've done it so far, there's usually a line to get in. Mm-hmm. People get the commemorative mugs, and you see them hanging on backpacks and camelbacks and cargo shorts. And okay. So it's a good thing. You come in there, and there's usually this year there are 9 distilleries, and they'll each have their own table. And you walk up, you pay for tickets, and they'll have 3 to 4 bourbons. Whiskeys. They've got some rye in there as well this year. And you just choose what they want. They'll pour you, I think, I'm not for sure on this one, but it's usually a 1/4 ounce, 1/2 ounce, or an ounce. And you get a set number of tickets.
Well, get me a little excited. Who are the distilleries that are going to be there?
So Maker's Mark is in there. Jim Beam Knob Creek is in there. That's kind of the same thing. You have Michter's, Bullets, Heaven Hill will be pouring Larceny, Four Roses is in there. You'll have Woodford Reserve, Old Forester, and Wild Turkey.
Oh, wow.
We got them all 9.
That's pretty good. He's pretty good, ladies and gentlemen.
I haven't finished my tea yet. I got all 9 of them. Good day.
We'd hate to take the flack you'd get for leaving one out. So
yes.
So good. So is there like a separate admission to get in the Bourbon Lodge? Or
There is. I think you just stand in line, you walk up, you show them that you're 21 years old, they give you a bracelet to make sure that you're legit, and then you buy tickets and you get in.
Okay. Well, you were telling me an interesting story about Liquor Barn's involvement in Forecastle. Forecastle is a really big event. It attracts people from all over the world, really. And your involvement has to do with J.K., who I know,
J.K. Captain
Knight, the captain, the founder of the event.
Yeah, so J.K., I had met J.K. through some mutual friends, and we began talking about bourbon, and he kind of went to some bourbon buys and barrel tastings with me, and so we kind of became friends over some bourbon, which is a good way to become friends, actually. Or it makes it easier.
Maybe
right?
We should have some
right
easier.
Now.
We
should be drinking bourbon. But it became involved through someone else that J.K. and I also mutually knew for a marketing opportunity to become a sponsor of Forecastle. So living here in Louisville and attending Forecastle for several years and knowing what it was about and knowing what the good things that the Forecastle Foundation is actually about, I felt like it was something that Liquor Barn should be involved in locally, that had a local focus, and whatever we put into it, we knew that the money went to something good.
Okay.
That a younger generation and even now older generations now can believe in. So we felt like it was a good spend of marketing dollars to be involved with them. And so finally they called us one day with the idea of the Bourbon Lodge, and we got really excited about that. I did. I get excited about bourbon. So
I think in Kentucky you just put the word bourbon in front of anything.
Bourbon, anything. These
peanut
garbage
butter.
Bags.
Bourbon peanut
these garbage
butter.
Bags were made with used bourbon bottles. I'm going to buy them and use them for my garbage. But you can do anything with bourbon and sell it these days. So we sponsored the Fireside Chats initially, which were these kind of real cozy sit-down educational pieces with distillers and suppliers, and I talked both years on kind of the retail side of it. And so that turned into a mixology bar. Actually, the first year was really cool. We had the star mixology. So the first year we had the Alabama Shakes. Brittany from the Alabama Shakes came to the Liquor Barn table and did mixology for all the people. It was actually super awesome. And then the last year was a mixology bar in the middle, which I think worked out a little bit better for the attendees. And this year, what's really cool, there's still going to be Fireside Chats. We're doing some really cool talks early Monday or Friday and Saturday. And this year we have a mixology bar, but we also have a flight station. Okay. So Liquor Barn will be sponsoring its own little bar that there'll be one whiskey from each of the 9 participants, and you can get a flight. So if you're familiar with beer flights,
sure.
Or now people do whiskey flights, I know Le Mou here in town does a filet flight of 3 different filets. So flights are popular these days, right? So there'll be 9 whiskeys, and you can pick any 3 of those 9 whiskeys, and I think it's going to be for 9 tickets or $9, the equivalent of $9. So you'll be able to come and mix and match different things. So you could get a Four Roses single barrel and a Woodford Reserve double oak and a Michter's rye and walk away with those 3.
Okay.
And it'll be up to you to pick which 3 you want. And If you come by, I'll probably be standing there early in the day on Friday and Saturday to just kind of talk bourbon with people and
yeah, because I would, you know, if I went up and did that, I'd see nine choices there, and I would have no clue as to which ones might go together or which ones I should, you know, sample or try. But I guess you'd have some expertise. Give me some advice.
Yeah, that's what I'll be there doing. I'm going to try to do that as much as I can, depending on any sort of other commitments we've got going. But I think what one thing I haven't mentioned actually is, so we do some single barrel programs with distilleries where they roll out different barrels. We taste and say, yeah, we want barrel X to put Liquor Barn on it. So at this table, we're going to have four things that are only at that table. Okay. So we'll have a Liquor Barn Woodford Reserve personal blend that we did with Chris Morris. Then we'll have a single barrel from Four Roses. Then we'll have a single barrel from Wild Turkey Kentucky Spirit, which is great liquid. And then the fourth one is Old Forester. We will have a Liquor Barn version of Old Forester. So if you're drinking that at our flight table, the Old Forester single barrel at our flight table will be similar but different from the Old Forester single barrel third table. The Woodford Reserve personal blend we're pouring at our table will be similar but a little bit different than what is okay. at the Woodford table. So it's a chance to mix and match different things from the tables, but it's also a chance to get something a little bit different. And when I'm in there, I'll probably be telling people, hey, try this Old Forester single barrel here, and then my advice would be to walk over to the Old Forester table okay. and try that one, or carry it over there with mm-hmm. you and try them side by side to see the differences. Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. Well, I guess in your job, you learn that, like you say, you're an expert. Your areas of expertise are tequila and bourbon, right?
So, oh, yeah.
There's a lot of differences in tequilas as well. Just tell me a little bit about tequilas, because I don't know.
Oh, man. I don't know if we can cover that next. Tequila.
You got 30 seconds.
Tequila was a revelation for me, because growing up, you have an impression of tequila just being rot gut shots and salt and limes.
Yeah.
I kind of came to it backwards.
And lime.
Right.
And,
I wouldn't ever deal with it, and somebody talked me – I moved into it backwards. Somebody talked me into trying an añejo one day, which is the age, which is everything. It's tequila that's been aged in a whiskey barrel for over a year.
Okay.
And so suddenly I discovered that I thought it was delicious, and I began drinking it here and there slowly. And then I backed up one step, not forward, backward into reposado. And which is a minimum of 2 months, but under 1 year in pretty much a whiskey barrel.
Wow.
Used whiskey barrels. Mostly, when you go to the distilleries in Mexico, it's almost exclusively Jack Daniels and Jim Beam. Every now and then, you'll find something cool that says, like, Old Granddad, or you'll find something from some Buffalo Trace, but not a lot. So I found Reposado to increase the 100% agave, that is, Reposado to be very refreshing. So even though I'd been drinking mostly craft beers and whiskeys, I began increasingly drinking these tequilas and noticing that if I drank, I don't want to say I drank too much, but if I drank enough, I didn't feel as bad when I drank
yeah.
like pure tequila. And I think that has to do with the pure water source and 100% agave. It's one ingredient. They're well made. And let me tell you, the Mexican government takes tequila very, very, very seriously. No matter what you think about Mexico or crazy things that go there, they do not mess around when it comes to tequila.
Okay.
They have a group called the CRT. They track agave plants. They track what they are literally on top of every square inch. So to me, pure tequila, pure 100% agave tequila, is one of the best beverages on the planet.
Wow.
So I love
it. Well, there you go. So let's transition. Let you talk about Liquor Barn just for a second. How many of them are there in this region?
We have 15 in the state.
Okay.
We opened two new ones in Louisville last year in Middletown and Jefferson Mall, and then we opened a new one in Elizabethtown in September, so that got us to 15. The original company started in Central Kentucky back in, I think, 1970 under Shoppers Village. There were a lot of those. Those started transitioning from small stores into big box liquor stores in the 80s under Liquor Barn. And then, you know, they expanded into Louisville, and then they've expanded to other cities. So it's been a process.
I mean, operating liquor stores, it's not just, you know, put the stuff on the shelf and unlock the doors. I mean, you all have promotions. You all have a lot going on, right?
There is a lot going on. We do a lot of tastings on Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays. There's a marketing component. There's these days, to be sharp, and it's funny. I started it 7 years ago is I did all our Facebook, I did all our Twitter, and that's when you could do that, right? Is you know, hey, Brad, dude, this is the side of the desk. Oh, I'll work on Facebook today. And so it's grown to now that we actually have somebody that we pay, Kelsey, who is really sharp to do our Facebook and do our Twitter, and she's done a really good job with Instagram. So it's funny how business changes, evolves over the years from print media. So we still do print, we do radio, we're looking at some TV, we're doing social media. There's a lot that goes into it.
Okay. Well, great. Well, we're really looking forward to the Bourbon Lodge at Fort Castle, and appreciate you sponsoring that. And I will hunt you down and get some recommendations from you in the tent.
Yeah, I'll be standing there during the day. You'll see me at the Mixology, near the Mixology Bar and the Flight Bar. But I do want to say we are raffling with the Fort Castle Foundation a VIP trip to Jim Beam at Knob Creek. So what you would do is there'd be, I think it's for four. And you would go, you'd show up there, I'd show up there with you, we're going to tour, we're going to have lunch at what they call the Knob Creek House, which is up on this hill. It's really cool. It's got like a 360, well, it's a square house, but it's got a front porch, it's got a fishing hole, everything you would want. And then you would go with me to warehouse, it's either K or H, I can't remember, up on their hill there. They're going to roll out some Knob Creek barrels, and we're going to select a barrel for Liquor Barn. You'd get to participate in that process, and we'd give you a first crack at buying those bottles. So you usually get maybe 20 cases out of it. If you want all 20, we'll sell all 20 to you. If you probably just want one or two, but we would let you help us select that barrel. And it's a really unique experience, and if you love bourbon, drinking it from the barrel is pretty much the sometimes what I consider to be the pinnacle of drinking bourbon. So that will be a Fort Castle Foundation raffle item that I think a lot of people are going to want to sign up for.
All right, well, we'll be looking forward to that. And more from you, Brad Williams. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'll see you there.
If you just can't get enough, catch up on the news of the city's restaurant scene every single day by visiting www.eatdrinktalk.net. Steve and Rick share all the latest local scoop from Louisville's restaurants and bars. You can also find old episodes of the show and connect with the guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Eat well, my friends. Another episode next week.